Morning, Jay. We'll jump right in. I noticed reports already swirling this morning. It's been a busy week for LeGarrette Blount after being unhappy with his number of touches with the Steelers on the weekend. He decided to leave the field a little bit early and then wanted to leave the locker room early, then was cut and apparently maybe has found a new home as early as this morning.
Yeah, I reported a little while ago he's signing a two-year deal with the Pats. So it's kind of another win-win for Bill Belichick. You know, obviously they're down a running back, and Jonas Gray has stepped up the last few weeks, but they want to pound the ball when the weather turns. They want to pound the ball on the ground and be very balanced in December and January, and they hope February. So this gives them another back like Jonas Gray in terms of size and bruising ability. He knows their scheme and system. He was there in the past. And they get him cheaply. He clears waivers, so his old contract's gone. The Steelers pay him for the rest of the year. And then the Patriots basically get him for 2 years at the veteran minimum, plus incentives. He's pretty fresh because he hadn't played much for the Steelers. And he's obviously motivated because he just cleared waivers. So if anybody else really wanted him, that you know, they could have had him. So it'll be an interesting experiment. I think it'll be fine for the Pats. It's a little bit of security and insurance. And somebody who this time last year was just starting to come into a more prominent role for them and obviously had some big games in through the playoffs. So I'm not surprised, and it certainly makes sense. If he's just a bit part player this year, then fine. And if they need him, he'll be there.
And like you said, there's that familiarity with what Belichick does. Like you say, it's just another break for the Patriots. You wonder how it happens sometimes, but things all come together. So New England, 6 straight wins, 8-2. Hard to believe there was at any point this season where people wondered if Brady had anything left or if the Patriots were done. They now add another weapon. Just the rich get richer.
Yeah, I mean, and again, look, I don't know that Garrett Blount's going to be a difference maker. I don't know that he has to be. But it is just, you know, somebody else they can tap on the shoulder and say, go get us a couple of yards here, you know, here and there. But again, if anybody else wanted this guy, you know, he was making, what, $1 million? So if somebody wanted to pay him $250,000 for the rest of the year and pick him up on waivers, they could have. I mean, let's look, New England's got, what, the second-best record in the NFL? So,
yeah.
You know, there was 30-some teams ahead of them in the waiver draft. Nobody took him. And they're able to sign them for as cheaply as they want.
Arizona-Seattle. We'll jump right to Sunday afternoon. Obviously, the Carson Palmer era looks to be over this season for Arizona. They keep rolling in Seattle at home, where they love life. I know that this has not been the season that the Seahawks wanted, but at 6-4, coming off of a loss, this is a huge one for them at home.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to win the division if they lose this football game. I mean, they're not going to make up 4 games in the final 5 weeks of the season or whatever. That's not going to happen. So it is must-win for them. Seattle's probably got to run the table in the rest of their NFC West games. You know, if they do that, you know, then they might be okay. But if they don't, they're probably done. The injuries really have started to mount for Seattle. I mean, no Max Unger. When he went down last week, their star center, that game really changed. They had difficulty running the ball. Without him in pass protection has been an issue as well, given how many other injuries they've suffered on the offensive line. They've really needed Russell Wilson to scramble and design runs and stuff outside the pocket, taking off quite a bit. And that's taken away a little bit from their passing game, but the struggles of their passing game have led to Wilson having to run so much in the first place. So that's almost a chicken and the egg type deal. I just don't know. I don't know. Arizona just refuses to lose. Injuries don't seem to matter to them. And it's hard to pick against them. I really felt like last week Detroit was going to be in a position to out-physical them a little bit. And certainly they met them in the physicality department. But a couple of calls, a couple of breaks were really the difference in the game. And, I mean, Arizona held Detroit to 6 points. So you just have to tip your cap to them. And I think Seattle will have difficulty moving the ball on them. And Stanton, I mean, he's got to improve his accuracy a little bit, but he just has a way of making those two or three big plays in a game that, as good as they play defense, can be the difference.
Jason Lacanfora is our NFL insider for Shank Sports Grill right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Jay, just wanted to take a look at some of the races here for the wild cards. We're now at the juncture of the season where you can start to see some battles really developing. First, with the AFC West, this looked like it was going to be Denver running away, but Kansas City's now tied with them. Let's expect they win against Oakland. What do you see in the AFC West with San Diego, Denver, and KC still like, theoretically all in the hunt for that division?
I really think KC is the team to watch. You know, they kind of control their own destiny here. They played Denver in a week from in whatever week 13. If they can just take care of business tonight, which I'm not going to give them that game because they just beat Seattle. They've got this, you know, battle for the division title looming in 9 days against Denver. This is an Oakland team that hasn't won in over a calendar year. They're very easy to look past. And if they do, they're still an NFL team, and they can bite you in the butt. But assuming the Chiefs find a way to take care of business tonight, they're now going to be very well rested to take on a Denver team that seems to be hemorrhaging right now. And Kansas City might be in position to beat them up a little bit. I like, you know, what the Chiefs have going on. They need to expand their passing game a little bit, but Jamaal Charles has really come on the last 3 or 4 weeks. The offensive line is held together, and we know they can beat your quarterback up on the other side with Tamba Hali and Justin Houston and some and Dontari Poe. So they're a formidable team. They don't beat themselves. You know, they kind of take on that persona of Andy Reid, which is not a whole lot of talk, not a whole lot of bluster, just kind of save it for Sundays. And I think they're going to be a tough out.
I really do.
They've restored their home field advantage at Arrowhead and really have that fan base back behind them again after a couple of years where things were a little bit divisive. I think they can win that division. I truly do. I have serious concerns about the Denver Broncos right now, and they're in a stretch of games where they've played a lot of physical defenses this year, even some of the ones that they beat up on, like the Jets. But Manning really got thrown around a little bit the first half against the Raiders. The Rams were all over him. He's had 3 straight weeks where, for the better part of the game, he has not looked right. He's been sensing the rush even when it's not there. He's not setting his feet. He's short-arming some passes. He's sailing others. Because I think he's worried about getting hurt. He doesn't trust his backs in pass protection. He does not trust his offensive line right now. You watch these games, go back and look at the film, you'll see it for yourself. Now he's got a stretch where it's Miami, Kansas City, and Buffalo, 3 of the best defensive fronts in the NFL, who all can get after the passer from both the interior and the outside. If he can't step up and feel like he can put his whole body into throws, because at this stage of his career, that's what he has to do to launch the ball 40, 50 yards downfield, then it's all dink or dunk. And when it's all dink or dunk, we saw New England, we've seen other teams do this, you'll just squat on that stuff, and eventually the receivers will get their heads knocked off, and you're going to keep going 6-7 yards a time, and it's very hard to score that way in this league without that explosive element. So I'm very interested to see how they hold up these next 3 weeks. I think Denver's in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, and you mentioned Miami, Kansas City, and then Buffalo. If you lose 2 of those 3 games, it's not crazy to think that over the course of 3 weeks, you could fall out of a bye into out of the playoff picture because you over half the conference has 6 wins already.
Well, and if you lose Peyton Manning for 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, and Brock Osweiler plays, I mean, I don't care how many weapons they have on offense, that's a tremendous. I just think keeping him healthy and keeping him from experiencing any kind of bumps and bruises or issues that are going to dog him through the playoffs is paramount for them. And I think they're going to have a very, as they're presently constituted, going up against a couple of these defense and some of these defensive coordinators, I think the way Greg Williams attacked him in particular last week, you'll see a lot of teams trying to mimic that. And I think they'll have some success doing it. I mean, this is going to be a team that may have to start really max protecting, running the ball a lot. But then again, the guy they like in the run game, Hillman, is hurt. And Ball can't stay healthy. This Anderson kid, we'll see, but can he get it done in pass protection? I don't know that Julius Thomas is going to play this week. It's not a long-term injury, but he may not play this week. Sanders still has to pass a concussion test. Wes Welker is not really a factor anymore. I mean, this is the end for him. As much as we talked about all these weapons, you take Sanders and Thomas out of there, that's a very different football team. You just double Demaryius, and you dare Peyton to get the ball 20 yards downfield on you if he can. And I don't think, with that group of guys around him, I don't think he would or could.
We're chatting with Jason Lackhead for our NFL Insider on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet Hotline. Lube City Express Oil Change featuring Mobile One. Warranty approved. A change for the better. The other division I'm absolutely fascinated by is the AFC North. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland. All six wins. What's happening?
What's happening is they get to play the NFC South, and that's where they've done their damage. I mean, I think the NFC South has only like 8 or 9 wins outside of its division, and the AFC North are like 17-7-1 outside their division, mostly because they've gotten a beat up on the AFC South and the NFC South. So, you know, we'll see. That series of games are almost over. So, you know, Baltimore is at New Orleans Monday night. That's a big crossover game. You know, does New Orleans actually lose 3 straight at home? It's hard to think they could. They haven't done it in a decade, but you never know. You know, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh still play twice, so those games will obviously be significant and could possibly settle that division. And I think the wheels are falling off in Cleveland a little bit. We'll see how much the return of Josh Gordon can help. Cleveland and Baltimore play week 17. You know, does that determine who's in the wild card and who's not? I mean, the beautiful thing in the AFC is everybody plays everybody. There's head-to-head tiebreakers all over the place because, you know, Kansas City is playing San Diego and Miami, and Buffalo is playing Cleveland and, you know, San Diego, and, you know, Baltimore still has to play Houston, Cleveland, Miami, and San Diego. So it's not going to take an abacus and, you know, advanced math degree to figure out these tiebreakers. It's going to be who beats who in these head-to-head games that matter so much. So really the AFC playoffs have started because, you know, there's certain teams. New England's going to win that division. Indianapolis is going to win that division. But even a team like Houston, I'm very intrigued by right now. They got Clowney back. Arian Foster should be back this week. They look much different, much more potent, much more alive offensively with big arm Ryan Mallett under center. I think they're kind of a dangerous team. And again, they still have, you know, they beat Cleveland last week. They still have, they still get to play the Colts one more time, and they're only one game behind the Colts now. Baltimore comes to them in a couple of weeks, so they could be a factor in this thing as well.
It's fascinating in the AFC. Just over half the conference is still in this thing, so I appreciate the insights there, Jay. We'll do it again next week. I'm sure there'll be tons to talk about, and there may be even more fog in the AFC. Who knows?
You never know. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.